VentureCast.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Music. Music.
Horror.
Horror.
Subculture. Subculture.
And overall badass.
Welcome
to Kettle Whistle Radio.
With your hosts, Dave and Sean.
Still paint it black, just don't add the brown sugar, apparently. That will get you in trouble. And that is D-Factor. You enjoy John Young's stuff. You could always hit him up on my friend's page. And D-Factor does a lot of our background music, and we want to thank, of course, Kettle One comes from Electric Prawn, Charlie Fleming's unit. So you may or may not be aware, we had some server issues earlier in the week. Of course, as we get you iHeartRadio people here at Kettle Whistle Radio for the first time, that's when the server issues kick in. But hey, they fixed it. Our server, Hipcast, got on it. And apparently what they were doing was updating so that they don't get ransomware. You know, believe what you want. I got it straight from them. Now, tonight, yes, it's Halloween season. Got Charlie St. Cyr. Charlie St. Cyr Paul. And that's Charlie Saint, STCYR-Paul. He plays the carillon. What is the carillon, you ask? Well, if any of you have ever been to a Renaissance festival, or for that matter, been to Disney World, he worked there for like 23 years. All right, the carillon, spelled like it sounds, not like the planet in Battlestar Galactica. That's completely different. That's old shit right there, guys. 70s. All right. But the carillon is a pitched percussion instrument that is played with a keyboard and consists of at least 23 cast bronze bells in fixed suspension and tuned in chromatic order so that they can be sounded harmoniously together. And yeah, like I said, this is a one-man band. He's coming up. He's a great guy. He's a lot of fun. And you get a little tidbit from HB3. Remember that guy with the piccolo bass? Yeah, I'm going to get these guys together at some point, and it'll be weird as all fuck. But my God, will it be good. All right, HB3, you'll hear a little snippet from him for our Halloween sessions here. I think you're going to hear more from him anyway at some point. I know, tomorrow, that's why I'm getting this up as soon as possible. Tomorrow is the Halloween Fest at, it's actually Nightmare Willow Station, the Willow Station restaurant. It's in Castle Shannon, south of Pittsburgh. Great place, great food. Be there with Robert J. Hoagland, and Jess Weary will be with us as well. This is the Gross Fest. I call it 2.5. He had some select vendors, myself being one, which was really cool. Christine Soltis will be there, Maddie Deering, and cast and crew of Gross Fest, of course. There'll be karaoke later in the night, but this thing starts, it's not going to get in the way of your Halloween festivities if you have any tomorrow, Saturday, October 30th. It starts at 2, okay? I'll be there bright and early myself. So, hopefully we'll see you there. And if you're not going out anywhere, Bakuasku on, this is on YouTube, folks, the Halloween Spooktacular is up, don't miss it. Loads of rock stars on there. It's definitely fun. All right, Bakuasku on YouTube, Halloween Spooktacular. Okay, and what else have I not mentioned? Now, if you like Charlie's stuff, that we're gonna play at least two songs for you tonight. If you like our guest, all his stuff, his music is available on Spotify, of course, and iTunes. And I believe he'll throw one more in there. He is not on Bandcamp, so don't look for him there. He did make that clear to me. And I hope you enjoy this. And sorry if you had any speed bumps along the way trying to upload us about 2 days ago or listen to us anyway. That's over. We're back. Hopefully you hear this. Don't give up on me yet. Got a lot to do. Lots to do. Lots coming up. All right. And again, the Spotlights, we'll be recording with them in a week. Spotlights are an amazing band. Look them up if you didn't hear them yet. I would love to play a song right now, but we're packed full of stuff right now. And again, thanks for D-Factor for the music. And I feel like I'm forgetting somebody. Oh, yeah, our guest. Let's get to him. What do you think? All right. Enjoy. And let's see. Maybe we'll just play a little something just before that. If you kind of like this one before. I'm going to play it again because it's so damn cool. All right. This is Frail, who they're now over in Europe touring right now. And this is Bela Lugosi's Dead by Frail, of course. Wow. Enjoy. Thank you, and thanks for listening. All right. We'll be right back. I want to say, well, folks, friends, and fiends, welcome to Kettle Whistle Radio and iHeartRadio fans as well. Thanks for accepting us on there and all you new listeners. I've got Charlie St. Cyr Paul, producer, drummer, percussionist, and we met at a very interesting place. How are you doing today, Charlie?
I'm doing great, my friend. How is it going over there?
Not too bad, not too bad. But you know, from what I see or hear, I should say, you're not happy about the hotel food.
No, it's every place I go, it's another shit show of what we're going to eat tonight. Try to eat something franchisable so I know what to get and something fun because I enjoy a, you know, a fun snack at night.
I understand. Totally understand that. All right, so I met you at the Pittsburgh Ren Fest. I guess you are a traveling Ren Fester. Is that how we'd say it?
You know, one would say a Rennie, but I'm a little bit more than that. I'm not stuck to the Renaissance festivals. I'm touring, doing state fairs, state festivals, private events, you know, festivals. Anything, any event you want to see something you've never seen before, which happens to be at a Renaissance festival as well, where we met. Mm-hmm. But any place that you would never see anything else you've never seen before, I'm your guy.
That is, you know what, I got that sort of introduction by some of the folks that were handling you that day. They were just like, I asked for the card, I was looking at your CDs and stuff, and I usually buy CDs, I don't even know why I didn't that time, but probably because I went over to run and see you, and they're like, oh yeah, yeah, this guy's got some stories. So, were they lying to me?
No, their stories are right. I mean, who else do you know plays a 4-ton medieval instrument that tours around the world where there's only one of those touring in North America?
It's amazing. Yes. We're talking about Bells to Go as well as Cast in Bronze. Two separate shows, or do you do them back to back?
So Bells to Go is more of my brand, my corporate brand. Okay. And then I provide different shows. And Cast in Bronze is the show that I've absorbed from another Kara Lenore.
Okay.
And I've did some more modern updates to that show.
Right. And that's where I met you there. So now you mentioned classes. Are you taking them or are you teaching classes? I wasn't sure on that when you said you had class today.
Well, that's great. Actually, both. I get called in to work with high schools and colleges.
Nice. Very
as
nice.
An adjudicating musician to work with ensembles, whether it be jazz ensembles or contemporary ensembles, marching ensembles. And then I also get invited into colleges to talk about music business, business of music, how to be a successful artist. Not a good artist, but a successful one. And then I also take classes. I just recently was received the scholarship 2021 to the North American Carillon School. I was their scholarship recipient this year. So tonight I had my campanology class, which is more about how the carillon works and bells around the world. So that's always interesting. So I'm surrounded by educating, giving, and getting.
I get that impression. Absolutely. Now, for those folks that went to the Renaissance Festival this year in the Pittsburgh area, you saw, I heard tubular bells right away, the theme from The Omen, and that just draws me right too. And I wanted to go up to the guy that was there before you. Did you just acquire the Pittsburgh one? Was it your first Pittsburgh show or no?
This is my first Pittsburgh show. It was my second contract out on the road. Previous to that, I did the Georgia Renaissance.
Well, it was very amazing. I enjoyed watching you, but the sound itself and just hearing those songs, and around Halloween time, it just kind of fit in really well. And you're kind of a one man band, but we'll talk about that first. You are kind of a one man band. I know you work with others, but
So the instrument, is so unique, and you nailed it, man. It doesn't matter if it was the other Carillonor or if it was me or if it's going to be someone else. The reality is the instrument is so unique and beautifully haunting. The instrument has some inherent characteristics that make it like nothing else. Bell that we toll has four notes that happen simultaneously. It has the primary note, which is the strike tone, the hum tone, which is an octave below, and then it has its first partial, and then it has an octave above. So the bells in themselves have a unique characteristic of having the minor third, so a lot is diminished. Chords, and that's kind of the crunchy dark shit you hear in music, very much in Halloween music.
Yes,
for sure. That's why the instrument is so unique. So like I was saying, it doesn't matter who's playing it, the instrument is just exquisitely beautifully haunting.
Haunting is the only way to put it, but full sounding strong. I mean, we do a lot with like heavy bands on here as well, punk, be it punk rock to metal to industrial to even some techno, it's all about that powerful sound, and I've always liked it. My grandfather was always in big bands, and it was all about just the power behind it and just being in it. What does it sound like when you are now? I saw you wear a headset, that's so you can talk to the crowd, but does that block out your sound when you're like inside that thing? Explain the structure itself. It's amazing if you haven't seen it, folks.
Yeah. So, definitely check out bells2go.com and you see all pictures and videos and such. It's hard to explain, 35 bells in a fixed trailer that stands 10 feet tall, 8 feet wide, and 12 feet long, played by batons that are, half a foot long, that are a couple of inches from each other, laid out like a chromatic situation, like a piano. And how I actually play that is almost with a cupped fist and smashing down on the baton to strike the goodness,
don't worry about it, it happens all the time. Usually it's my dog that interrupts us, but there you go,
right? So you strike down on these batons, and the batons have a goes to a cable, and the cable goes through a pulley and then pulls a clapper, and that clapper strikes the bell. So it is a pretty, and I have three octaves on my feet, hands, and an octave and a half on my feet. So to play chordal music, I'll have to use both hands and both feet, and I'll do that a lot. So that's kind of a little overview of the instrument, but I would definitely check out anyone who wants to learn more about it, is go to the website if that's okay, just because it'll help fill in the blanks of visually what we're talking about.
And not to mention, there's always pictures on your Facebook page, which I just became familiar with. Again, his name, folks, Charlie St. Cyr. Now, it's Cyr, Cyr-Paul, Cyr Paul. So Charlie St. Cyr Paul. Not the easiest name to look up on Skype. I'm just going to say. Sorry about that.
it's fine. But, you talked about your dad and the big band, and you're obviously... And a lot of people that listen to the genres you just mentioned, they get excited by sonic fullness of music.
Yeah.
And this instrument, getting back to me doing it by myself, so much of the bells creates, I would say, 80% of the sonic clarity of what you hear. And I play with music. So other bells are typically up in a church tower. And they have three more octaves below. So they have that full sonic palette to choose from. I don't. I just have the top three octaves, and that's why I add the music, a contemporary rock band of guitar, bass, guitar, drums, and full orchestrations.
Right. Ironically, I was driving past a local church today, and their bells got stuck. They still use the real bells up top, not digitally, you know, and they got stuck. And I'm driving past, I'm like, oh, boy, maybe we're not going to talk today. I don't know. Strange omen. But, you know, this is something you don't, I don't think you just fall into something like this, like cast in bronze and your belts to go, or did you just fall into this? Yeah. Or was this a plan?
No, you know, here's a crazy story. If you don't believe in fate or a predetermined path of your life, you may have to this. 23 years ago, I was at Disney World, and I've had a wonderful career playing as a musician at Walt Disney World and Universal, doing a lot of corporate things in that area. Mm-hmm. I auditioned for this guy who had this strange bell contraption, and he was hiring a band because something went awry with the band he had brought down from Philadelphia. And the music was interesting, it was complicating, it was haunting, and, you know, being a jazz nerd and into the fusion style of stuff and seeking out something a little bit more heavier, I was like, I have to take up on this audition. And my buddy, who ended up being in Vegas playing all the surf shows up there, he and I went to this audition, and we auditioned while this guy was playing the music on a keyboard, and we thought it was kind of corny, but the music was really hard. So we ended up getting a gig, and we played with him at Disney for 3 years with, and he was, you know, Carolyn or Della Panna as the original cast in bronze, you know, guy. So we played with it. And honestly, for the 3 or 4 years that we played together, I was just like, ah, that's really a unique thing that we're listening to. But and it seemed really novelty to me. It's like at Disney, you know, you play with bagpipes, you play with violins, you play with glass harmonicas, you know, all these obscure things, things that people want to see, niche things. And at the moment, I kind of saw it as that. But then we stayed in touch, and I ended up being his drummer on all of his recordings for 23 years.
Wow.
Working with his band, and we developed this great relationship. So about a year ago, I get a phone call, and Carolinor Della Petta, his first name's Frank. Frank's kind of a gruff man from Philly. He calls me out, and he goes, Charlie, you want to play the bells? And I said, no, no way in hell do I want to play the bells. And he's like, you know, you can take over. I was like, no, man, that's not my calling in life. It's just so complicated. I mean, what the hell am I going to do? Go on the road and carry around 4 tons of bells? It didn't make sense. So we hung up, and then he called me back like an hour later. He goes, Charlie, listen, the bells have chosen you.
Oh, my God.
What are you going to do? And I was like, oh, sorry, I don't know. And then it became this responsibility. Kind of like you were talking about, the bells are so amazing. And once you see them, you're hooked on them. And if you've never seen them before, you're blown away when you see them.
Yeah.
It became a responsibility more than an opportunity. So it's kind of like someone gifted me a child that didn't have any parents or, you know, and it's like, well, of course I got to play. So it became a responsibility as much of a, you know, it went from a gig, a cool gig of a niche instrument to, okay, the fate of the world knowing about this instrument relies on me now.
Wow. So. Okay, so you were pressured into it a little bit.
A little bit, but, he, you know, and hopefully you felt this way too. He saw the skill sets in me that would carry this instrument to the next level.
All right.
You know, someone who would entertain, someone who would consider other musical genres, you know, and our Christmas album is a EDM project.
Yep.
Which is pretty badass. And, you know, we're starting pre-production on a whole new concept called the Gothic Tales, which is going to be a badass gothic rock band. And we're already talking to, you know, people who have, I'm starting to get in touch with people like Skillet, Snow White Blood, and and Evanescence. People that, you know, kind of inspired me to do this. People that use the sound of bells, but never used real bells. They're using some, you know, bullshit MIDI sample, which is cool because who has a 4-ton Carillon to bring around the world with them?
Exactly.
And I said, well, I do. So this is what I'm telling them. I'm telling them, you know, I'm going to start playing your music to get some attention. Then I'm going to play some of my original songs.
There you go.
And if you want, we can start working together now, or you're going to work with me later when you realize that we're the perfect pairing. So we're really excited. You know, I got Bobby Coble, the guitar player from Death, is a good friend of mine.
Get out of here, really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
A buddy of his. This will be the first project that I don't play drums on. I got a guy who can really slam the stuff the way it's meant to be. And I actually get to meet him next week, but we've been auditioning him, virtually. Got a great female singer who is just going to tear it a new one.
Oh man, we have to get you back on here when that's done.
Oh dude, it's going to kill. And, what I'm trying to do now is just get that together, organized, so we can get out. I would like to get out to, Music Fest in Milwaukee and Music Fest in Bethlehem, places that, know how to produce and showcase these groups.
Gotcha.
Because like you experience, it needs to be sonically felt, when it does, I think it's going to change the industry.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I just think it's funny that you told them, I already got one.
Right. Yeah. I mean, wow. Imagine if the electric guitar didn't exist and they're using all these patches from like GarageBand for an electric guitar. And then, Eddie Van Halen shows up and goes, this is what it's really supposed to sound like, I'm not comparing myself to Eddie Van Halen, but sonically.
Why not?
Why not? He's a god.
I think that you would have got his attention if he sat in that front row that day when I saw you. Yeah. That definitely, it would have held his attention. He had respect for other musicians quite a bit. You don't hear about it much, but he was seen at that Tool show. He definitely, I think he was open to a lot of sounds, let's face it,
Yeah, and what my favorite thing was is, even in the Carillon world especially, there are a bunch of snobby Carillonors that sit around playing literature from the 14th, 15th century, talking about how they do it better than someone else. I don't have this crazy proficiency, but, something that Eddie Van Halen said one day when his son was, taking the place of bass in the band.
Yeah.
They were trying to get him to compare Michael Anthony and Wolfgang. And he finally said, guys, you got to chill out, Music is not a competition. That's why we have sports. Everybody has their heartbeat. Everybody has something to share. Let them communicate.
Right. I saw Wolfgang. I saw that Van Halen with Wolfgang too.
Okay. And he kicked ass, right?
He was good. Yeah, he was really good. I totally held his own. I mean, I thought nothing of it. I've seen them before, but yeah.
I mean, but the vocals, were missing. I mean, he's staple to that sound. But it's kind of like Jason Bonham. He doesn't play like John Bonham, but hey, let him do his thing.
Exactly. And honestly, if you remember Dimebag Darrell of Pantera, riffs were meant to be shared,
Absolutely. Yeah, if we're not learning and sharing music, then we're just being selfish little pricks.
I hear you. And that gets boring. All right, let's give him a little taste here. You pick out a song and we'll play it, something of yours. We'll stay away from the Christmas stuff because I was going to ask you for that maybe in about 2 months.
Sure. No worries. That sounds great.
What do you got?
I think something is cool. It's the opening title track to the album Chapter 2. It's a song called The New Chapter.
Okay.
And it's royal, majestic. It fits multiple genres, but it's something that I don't even get to play because it's not. I don't think it's so listener friendly that if you walked by, it would keep you captivated. But I think it's a nice introduction to listeners to hear some, simple arrangement that really presents the Carillon in a majestic way.
All right. Perfect. All right. And you said that was the title track, Chapter 2. You said.
A new chapter.
Okay. Well, you heard it here, folks.
Yeah.
And we'll have it all listed for you in writing so you can actually see his name as well and follow him on Facebook, Twitter, wherever he wants you to find him. But right now, we're going to play this right now. And this is off of what record is it?
Chapter 2, just released 6 months ago.
We'll get right back to you. Enjoy this, folks. You get a taste of what he's talking about. And then we have a couple more questions to follow up with that. And thanks for listening to Kettle Voice Radio. You have a good day, night, and I hope you come right back.
Like these chimes are the poet's airy rhymes. All his rhymes and roundelays, his conceits and songs and ditties. from the belfry of his brain, scattered downward, though in vain, on the roofs and stones of cities. For by night, the drowsy ear under its curtains cannot hear. And by day, men go their ways, hearing the music to the break of dawn, but deeming it no more, alas, than the hollow sound of bronze.
Thicker with dwelling in the dark. 11 stories. All bits of the same mysterious puzzle, fitting together with horrific parallels to its predecessor. Get ready for new, truly terrifying tales set in the broken world from the fall of tomorrow. Take a closer look at what's now dwelling in the dark. If you dare. Available on Amazon in traditional print and ebook. Get your copy today. Visit www.fairlydarkproductions.com for more info on the author and his work.
Hi, this is Martin Atkins from Public Image Limited, Killing Joke, Ministry, Nine Inch Nails, Pigface and the Damage Manual, and Murder Inc. and Brian Brain, and you're listening to Kettle Whistle Radio.
There you go, folks. You just got a taste of what he was talking about. Charlie St. Cyr Paul, the master behind, oh my gosh, the Carillon? It's called the Carillon, correct?
Yeah, definitely. The instrument's called the Carillon.
And
let me give your listeners two definitions of what a Carillon is.
Yes.
The first one, so they know, this is a Stoic definition of 23 or more bells in a fixed position played by a baton that is in a chromatic order, layout like a piano, and striking bells with a clap. Now, my definition is the best kept musical secret that's going to change the industry once you know about it.
Boom.
So there.
Ah, love it. I'm glad you could do this with us, man, because we're about 253 shows in, 13, 14 years now, and we've had so much of everything. This is one thing that was missing, and I was going to approach you, your other guy, about 3-4 years ago, the last time we saw the Renaissance Festival, and I chickened out. I didn't want to bug him because he was getting attacked by people, you know. And you had a line there too, but I was like, you know what? This time, I'm not going to let this go. But I've totally.
You know why you came as close to me is because he had a mask on and I didn't. Yeah. You're more approachable and better looking.
That's really funny. I was going to mention the mask. He did seem intimidating. He did seem very like a ninja.
Yeah.
He's a Caroline.
Kids love me now because I'm not as scary.
That's pretty funny. That's funny. Oh, so yeah, so there were kids coming up to you. Yeah, there were kids there and younger folks, older folks. Yeah, you know what? You have a point there. It's because your face was, they could see you. They could see you were personable.
Yeah.
No offense to the other guy.
And no, you know, that other individual we talked about, Carolyn North Delapena, Frank Delapena, he is a master. Yeah. I mean, a true master, world-class Carolyn North, studied in the French Carillon School. I mean, there's probably three people in the world that are playing on his level. And so, I joke about him. That's because he's a dear friend, but... No mistake. He is the originator. He is the original. And, my job is just to take it to the next level. And that's what I'm trying to do.
You definitely did it. Let me ask you this non-musical question. What is your state of mind currently with things today? How things go? How do you feel right now? Are you in a good state of mind?
I'm in a great place, man.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, are you talking about music?
No, I was putting music aside, just the state of affairs, world, and because you're seeing a lot of it, at least this country lately, or are you seeing a lot of the world right now?
Yeah, you know, I'm seeing people that are wanting to adventure and forget about things,
uh-huh.
And that's the joy of being an entertainer, being on the road, is you're in everyone's vacation space, you know, they're trying to escape reality for a minute.
Yes.
I love it. And, you know, especially after this pandemic, regardless of what side of the coin you fall on it politically,
mm-hmm.
people are just hungry for normalcy or, you know, something to be entertained by. And I'm thrilled to be able to provide that for you.
100%, man. I'm doing my first convention this Saturday. It's a mini convention at a local pub, bar, and grill. Yeah, we're doing a book signing. It's for Halloween. It's a horror fest called Gross Fest, and basically this is 2.5, very watered down, cut down, because it's in a smaller place, and not everybody's going to go to a giant convention right now. But it's getting better. It's getting better. But yeah, it is at the Willow Station, folks, if you happen to be in Castle Shannon or Pittsburgh area this weekend. The weekend
Woo-hoo!
Of... What is this weekend anyway? What date are we at now?
We're on the Halloween weekend.
Yeah, so the 30th.
I'm actually in Boynton Beach, Florida this weekend playing a pirate and mermaid Halloween festival.
Oh, wow.
So I actually put together a Halloween show where I'm playing... I just put together a nice arrangement of theme from Dead Silence.
Oh, wow, great. I love that. Yeah.
That's and it translates really well, you know, getting back to that diminished chord structure. And then I'm doing stuff from The Omen, you know, the tubular bells.
Yep.
And then Phantom of the Opera for the old people so they can still think I'm polite and nice.
Of course.
And then, you know, from The Omen, O Fortuna, which is just a classic kill me movie.
Yeah.
You know? So I think we're going to have a super fun Halloween. I'm excited.
Good. I'm glad to hear that, man.
Good luck on your book. Your book signing, man.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I've got a ton of books of old stock that's been sitting around for 2 years, you know. Then I got the new, we have a new comic book out, Dr. Peeler, Demon Psychiatrist. I'll have to send you a copy of that if you're into comic books. Issue 2 is coming up.
I would love that.
I'd love to send it to you, man. My artist, Bob Hoagland, is amazing. So, yeah, he's going to be there, folks. You can meet him and he's got some artwork that'll blow you away. So that's if you happen to be there. Do you have favorite pieces that you play? Like which ones stand out during a performance that you enjoy and look forward to?
Yeah, okay. So the ones that I love and enjoy are not the ones that people like.
Oh, interesting.
So
okay.
It's very short lived typically. It's hard to captivate people as an instrumentalist. So I try to sing every show just so there's somebody there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like my wife, she doesn't get instrumental music. She needs a lyric to gravitate.
Interesting.
So I try to give some lyrical content, and I love singing. So I recently was singing Peter Gabriel's In Your Eyes.
Oh, wow. Really? You did that in Pittsburgh, didn't you?
Okay, yeah, probably.
Yeah, you did.
But here's the problem with that. It's the one song after the show, people come up teary-eyed to me, thanking me like, oh, my gosh. That was just so beautiful. You spoke to my heart and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So I'll get one or two of those, but, and here's why I don't play it. A good 20 to 30% of my audience walks away because it's just not captivating enough.
Oh, weird.
For the masses in a stage presentation.
Okay. Well, I will say this. Nobody got up and left during the Pittsburgh performance, and I was standing behind a dude that was there with his family and said, that was my wedding song. And they were very, very happy about that. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, you probably don't remember this stuff.
Yeah, well, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
You know, the other stuff I like singing and I'm kind of bringing to the forefront is, you know, getting ready for the gothic thing. I'm doing a lot of classic rock thing.
Can't wait.
And I have a background with classic rock. So I put a medley together of three tunes. One, Bubba O'Reilly, that I sing, which is such near impossible to sing at 8 o'clock at a festival in the morning. But, and then in that medley, I also do Paranoid by Black Sabbath
and
Immigrant Song by Zeppelin.
Oh, that's awesome. Holy shit.
So I like doing that stuff just because I think an artist is most believable when they're speaking closest to their heart, and that's my heartbeat, you know, is playing that stuff.
I love it, man.
Discussing what was going on in society, historically, in the 1970s that caused the horror films that we appreciate so much, we brought up Vietnam as one example because all these fuckers were Vietnam vets and came back crazy. And thus they made the movies they made. I also wanted to bring up the impact of no-fault divorce, which was legalized in California in 1970. And the hockey stick-like explosion of divorces in the early to mid-70s as another factor influencing the content of horror films at that time. Suddenly you get lots of demonic possessions of children, lots of horror scenarios involving families, broken families, or families that are in danger of breaking up, and the entrance of demonic forces in that context. The demonic forces, of course, being symbolic for the entrance of outside predators in the form of step-parents, boyfriends, etc., who have taken advantage of the opportunity and are now preying on the innocent, who they now have access to. In the same way that we had an explosion of child abuse in the 1970s perpetrated by step-parents, we have this new emphasis on the demonic possession of children in 1970 cinema. The whole nuclear family is suddenly at risk. Now the monster was not out there. It was in here. It was present immediately, intimately, in our own homes, and no one would believe us, including the people we trusted the most. I remember watching the final episode of The Night Stalker, a television show that ran from 1973 to 1974 and is commonly considered a precursor to The X-Files, called The Sentry, which was about a lizard creature living in the walls of an underground facility. I missed the fact that it was an underground facility and thought it was just a monster in the walls. And I remember the final lines of Kolchak's narration chilling my blood.
But if you're in a subway or a pedestrian tunnel underneath a ballpark and you think you hear something moving in the walls, it may not be your imagination. Take my advice. Don't walk. Run.
This is HB3, HB3 Live at Instagram and Facebook.
I noticed, too, in some pictures, but it didn't happen at the show I was at, but you have dancers sometimes as well, or you're playing drums to it looked like...
Yeah, I love collaborating with any artistry, so, you know, you got my head spinning, even like, you know, someone like your illustrator, someone like that is exciting to work with, someone who can, you know, just blow visually with what they're doing on the spot to the music, whether I've had different dancers, I coordinate with different drummers. One of the songs on the album, when I was at the Georgia Renaissance Festival, this is something I wrote right on the spot, and I had everybody else that was playing there just, you know, so I had a zither, I had a dulcimer, I had a didgeridoo, and had some drummers, I had a bagpipist. And,
wow.
You know, just anything. I want people to know that this instrument is real, and it relates on all sonic boundaries. You
I'm convinced. Now I am, after seeing it live several times.
Nice.
And but now I didn't know about your other stuff that you were doing. That's amazing. And what you said just then about collaborating with other artists. Yes, it is amazing. Like his name's Robert J. Hoagland. I call him Bob. He spells his first name backwards, but, yeah, you know, that's just him. But anyway, he is like totally... He can pull the things out of my head because I'm writing it, you know, and I feel I have the easy part, but he's an amazing artist, but you have to be able to interpret it to an artist. And I didn't have to tell him too much. He could pull it right out of my head. And that to me is just an amazing thing. And he's better. Yeah. He's actually better than the thoughts that I come up with. And I just can't interpret it good enough. So there's a lesson out there, writers that work with artists. Be very clear when you do that, whether it's a screenplay, a shooting script, a storyboard is how we work. Be very clear. And if you got the right guy or girl, they'll pull it right out of your head.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, doesn't that collaboration make you better? I want to be surrounded by people that just make me and my vision and product better, you know?
100%. 100%.
Yeah.
Now, how about original stuff? Now, you talked a little bit. How much, you said this gothic rock thing, is that going to be all originals? That could be covers, collaborations?
We're going to start with covers.
Okay.
Because I know to get, you know, the festivals where I'm playing for 20,000-30,000 people a night, I know I'm going to need to. I want to go out strong right off
right.
the bat. So I want to be the greatest gothic rock cover band to start. And then when people start eating out of our hands, then we'll give them some original stuff, and hopefully that will translate into, you know, international listenership.
Yes, we're very fickle people. We like to hear familiar stuff. I like new stuff all the time, but man, you want to get my attention, you know, play Tubular Bells and the theme from Omen, and out from a distance, I'll be like, where's that coming from, you know? So, yeah,
exactly.
You pull the crowd. Yeah. Let's see. Oh, heck yeah. But I've got to ask this one now. My co-host is not with me, in case you didn't realize, folks. Yeah, Sean's not here tonight, but he'll be back on the next episode. He would have had some great questions for you, but that's a timing thing. What was your first instrument that you played, though? Obviously, it wasn't wasn't this.
Right. Hey, Mommy, can we go to band invitation tonight when they introduce all the new instruments? I want to pick the carillon.
The carillon, of course.
No, so I was I started wanting to play drums, but of course everybody wants to play drums, so my band director had me starting with low brass, which was so boring and I was not into it. So then I ended up playing trumpet and then percussion, drums and trumpet. And then, you know, by the time I was in high school, it was just all drums and drum set. And you know, and then in the last 20 years I've picked up, you know, bass guitar and enough piano, keyboarding, and even guitar. You know, as I need to communicate things to other musicians, I found it best being able to have some type of proficiency on an instrument so I can understand, you know, the limitations and how to communicate some of those things.
Surely.
So I love playing bass guitar because I love dancing, and basically I loved anything I could do to get out from behind the drum set and get more attention. And I think I found the thing that
Oh, man, that's funny. No, I started with drums myself. Went drums, and then I went saxophone because my grandfather played saxophone. And I wasn't very good at that. And drums, I was just keeping a pace kind of. But then I went right to the bass guitar because that was fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
So are you playing bass guitar now? Is that something you're doing on a regular basis?
Not on a regular basis. No, I was in a horrible punk rock band in my teen years. And after that, I was just kind of fooling around with it. And yeah, it's collecting dust right now. But now, all I know are bass players now, including my co-host. It's just the funniest thing.
Okay.
But yeah, it is a fun instrument, a fun instrument. So what, you progressed from the bass guitar. What did you do next?
It was, you know, drums was always the main thing.
Okay.
So, and then, you know, I was auditioning for some stuff with Cirque du Soleil, so I ended up picking up guitar to learn, you know, kind of get that back together, just enough to, you know, do the things I needed to for certain shows. But, you know, I do a lot of production, and I do a lot of custom show design.
Okay.
So, you know, I'll play a cajon one day, and the next day I'm playing a mini vibraphone or a Zendrum or some other futuristic, you know, component that keeps time and makes noise, you know.
Do I know somebody that you have to meet if you're ever out in the West Coast. He has a bit on this show. Especially during the Halloween season. He's known, his band and him, he produces everything himself. HB3 is what he's known as, but his name is Hugh Bonar. Okay. Hugh Bonar, he basically reinvented or invented the piccolo bass guitar. Amazing stuff. I would suggest if you're into, you'd want to hear some of his episodes. His music's amazing. It sounds like it's right up your alley, man, like something you'd love.
Make sure to give me a contact there.
I'll gladly introduce you guys. I mean, you guys could probably talk for hours. If I had you both on the show, you wouldn't need me.
We would get so lost in self-indulgent musical masturbation, we would need you to get us on track.
I'm telling you. You know what? I'll ask his permission, and I'll just introduce you guys on Messenger. And you want to listen to? I mean, you can watch some videos. It might even inspire you because I know he's inspired a lot of people. But he also teaches music too. You kind of answered my question on this one. But I was going to ask you if you did any soundtrack music or any music for TV and film. You mentioned Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah, so
I've
done a lot of music designing and writing for attractions in the theme park world, the cruise ship world.
Oh, that's cool.
A lot of corporate stuff. I played with bands back when MTV and the Real World was a big deal. I was on a couple of those theme songs. You could pull up the ACN network and ESPN2, and that's my drumming and all that stuff.
Oh, wow.
So done a fair amount of national stuff. You know, you can find me on every Casabronze CD, the two that I've done and the nine that came before me. I'm the drummer on all those, which is cool now because I'm playing to tracks of me. And I'm like, damn, this drummer is like grooving. He's doing all the things I would do. This feels great. And it's me.
That's great. I love it. It doesn't get better than that. I don't think it right? does. Who have you proudly worked with, and who would you like to work with?
The musicians that I'm most proud to work with are no one that anyone would know. I could give you a bunch of big names, but out of that, the people that have inspired me and I love working with are true artists. There's a wonderful saxophonist in Orlando who has been with Cirque du Soleil for years. His name is Alain Burdett. And, you know, every time I get to work with him, I'm inspired and moved by his transparency as a human and as a musician. Those are the people I really get off working with. And people I'd love to work with, you know, before it was, you know, Tower of Power in the funk world. And it was, you know, being able to go on tour with Boston or Aerosmith. But now I'm really getting excited about the Scott stuff. I fully see, you know, a collaboration with a Dream Theater and Skillet and, you know, something like that. Some Marilyn Manson and, some Christian metal band. I don't know. Doesn't make sense that we're going to be open to the collaboration, you know?
There's so much out there. We've played a lot on this show, too. You'd be surprised. Some of the acts. We're always trying to get more. That sounds awesome. I totally see you. Dream Theater, that's interesting. They're hometown heroes for me back on Long Island, New York. But they're still going, man. I can't believe them. But yeah. That kind of brings me to my next question. Musical influences that brought you to this, it's a very select form of music, but what were you listening to prior to all this? Were you a metal guy? It sounds like you liked funk as well.
Yeah, big funk. I grew up as a jazz fan. My brother's a world-class jazz guitarist and fusion guitarist, and listening to bands like Tribal Tech and Dixie Dregs and Weather Report and Zauno Syndicate, that whole world, which is like a fusion of rock and jazz. I'm a huge Sinatra fan. I'm a huge Stevie Wonder fan.
Oh yeah,
I love Michael Jackson. And I'm probably one of the biggest Beatles fans in the world. So
yep.
Put it all in a blender, and there you go.
Nice. I wasn't going to tell this story right away. I've mentioned it a few times, but Stevie Wonder got me into rock and roll at a young age. My dad was playing Beatles, Stones, and doo-wop. I can't say I was a big fan of. But are you still there?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah, your screen's doing something weird, but there we go. Stevie Wonder, if you remember, he did Sesame Street in the 70s.
Yeah.
And Ray Parker Jr. was playing guitar on Superstitious. Yeah, but he was doing, that's him with he had the giant hair, and he's playing Superstitious on Sesame Street. And I just put it together recently that was Ray Parker Jr. playing with him. Radio guy, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff.
But you know, it's funny. I was talking to somebody, and I said, do you remember Sesame Street? And they were too young to know the classic Sesame Street.
Right.
But if you think about it, you know, Chick Corea was on Sesame Street.
Right.
Bobby McFerrin. I mean, there were just like so many iconic
Bobby
great
McFerrin.
Artists that were. Yeah.
How about Rita Moreno was on The Electric Company?
Oh, gosh. Now we're going way back.
Yeah, Morgan Freeman. Yeah, that just came up. I think they just celebrated their 50th or something like that. Maybe I'm wrong. Might be 45. I don't know. But, yeah.
Maybe you know this world because you're a grandfather, but I'm a huge Lawrence Welk fan, too.
Interesting. I got to hear that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, great entertainment with great musicianship.
Mm-hmm.
And then for me, I was going to take over Anton Figgs with the Tonight Show band, the Letterman band. Wow. That was my goal in life.
That's funny because David Letterman, he was my goal to become a talk show host.
Okay.
Yes.
So now we're dating ourselves.
Yeah, we certainly are. That's all right, though. It was a good period of time.
But are they not the best?
Yes.
Of what they did, right?
100% the best. Yeah, I totally miss. Well, I miss David Letterman. Although you can still catch him. What's his band doing these days? Weinstein, or was that the Weinstein family band?
No, ended up being the Conan thing.
Conan, that was Conan. It was the father and son took over or something.
Yeah.
That's
all what it was. But I mean, Paul Schaefer and Anton Figgs and Will Lee. I mean, just iconic musicians. I don't know if your listeners obviously know the band Kiss, but the first two Kiss albums, the drummer on that album, everyone thinks was Peter Criss.
Yeah.
But he actually couldn't cut it, so actually it was Anton Figgs from the Letterman band.
Oh, wow.
Who signed like a 20-year, non-NDA, but he couldn't tell anybody.
Wow. I don't know. I may have heard something on satellite radio about that, but I missed the whole story. Oh, that's interesting.
Okay.
That's good stuff.
Right?
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, what is, can I ask you, what was the most fun you've ever had on stage? Is there a point or a show that stood out the most?
When I cry, I know I'm in a good place.
Wow.
Like when I'm just moved to tears. And it's happened in stadiums and it's happened in arenas. Or it's happened at the, playing with John Farnham and opening up for NXS.
Oh my God.
Or at least a show in Australia, Super Bowl 25. I mean, big shows I've played. But recently, sitting behind the Carillon, it was kind of like maybe 3 weeks ago when my head removed itself from my body and kind of looked down at what I was doing.
Wow.
And I knew it was a responsibility, but I thought to myself, I'm actually doing this and it sounds gorgeous to me. I was brought to tears. I mean, not by me, but by the instrument, and I was able to facilitate the instrument.
Well, yeah, you're like melded to it,
Yeah, yeah.
I totally believe that. That wow, no, that's huge. That's music, baby. That's what it's all about. Really, you want that. That's.
And you mentioned a while back, and I'm sorry I didn't finish answering your question. What I'm listening to in my ears,
that's cool.
In-ear monitors.
That's cool.
My in-ear monitors, I have microphones all over the belt, and those are just for me. I don't mic the bells. I just play at the volume of those. But the miking of the bells is for me. And in my ears, it sounds like I'm in a cathedral. And I purposely made it as good as possible just so I'm getting off on every performance, so I can hopefully I'm translating. Like, it doesn't matter if I'm at a Renaissance festival or Little Pirate Festival, to me, is the biggest show of the day,
Okay. So, yeah, nothing stands out except the few times that you were brought to tears by the instrument itself.
I think that's what's been standing out to me, It's when I'm brought to tears. There was a time when I actually played with this instrument and I was a drummer that I was brought to tears, too. It was like, when you're making something bigger than yourself, when you're part of something that's bigger than just
yeah,
you,
yeah,
that, like you said, that's music, you know?
Man. Yeah, you're flooring me right now. That's amazing. I just wonder if we've crossed paths because before did you ever do the Pirate Fest? Any Pirate Fest out on Long Island?
I don't think so.
I probably maybe at Disney World. I probably saw you more than a few times.
Yeah, you probably saw me at Disney. You know, there's a couple of national artists that I toured as a music director with that you know, has brought me all around the world. So I've been in theaters and stadiums and but. Yeah, I'm enjoying what I'm doing now. It seems like the calling. It's a weird, you know, 40-year path to get here, but here I am, baby.
Well, this is the part of the show where you tell everybody to find your stuff and your CDs and where you want them to find you on socials.
Yeah. So it's everywhere. I have this Linktree account that people scan. You can find me. Everything is Bells2Go.
Okay.
So it's Bells, the number 2, Go.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you're on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, TikTok, it's all Bells2Go. That's kind of the corporate brand. And you can get a link to everything if you just go to the website, bells2go.com. On there also has my touring schedule, and we're about 16 to 18 months out with a current touring schedule. So, good to check out. You can purchase all the music directly from the website or, you know, Spotify seems to be the jam lately.
Yeah.
So people can find it there, you know, and to get national and international recognition, we're working with Spotify just to get that, those streams and get on the curators playlist to get international, you know, attention.
And his name is Charlie.
So I think the best place is,
You forgot your name. We got to get your name out there again. Charlie Saint.
Sear Paul.
Yep. And it's from four parts, folks, including a dash between Sear and Paul. Very important for radio to do that. Radio doesn't do that enough.
Yeah.
You can listen to an interview for 45 minutes and they never reiterate or tell you how to spell the person's name. And it drives me crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Pet peeve. I've been listening to radio for way too long. And hey, Charlie, do you like horror movies?
I love horror movies.
Ooh, got some favorites. It is the Halloween season.
You know, my favorite, and, you know, I'm not so much of a gore as I am suspense.
Okay, so, I hear that.
The Shining is my most tragic movie that I love. And
Kubrick,
I can't watch it enough.
Right, and the soundtrack's amazing.
Yeah, but I also love, you know, Carrie and Christine and Cat's Eye and, you know, those are the type of movies that get me off.
Cool. Yeah, I'm a 70s guy when it comes to the horror movies and the nostalgia. I'll watch 80s.
Okay.
I mean, you know, yeah, it got into too much comedy in the 80s, and then it got serious again. Right now, I mean, I got Shudder, and Shudder is an amazing station. So, and you get the foreign flicks, too.
Tell me, what should I check out this Halloween to be terrified? Not in a gore way, but in a suspense way. You seem to have your finger on the pulse of that.
There's a good possession movie out now that was scary. I don't know if it... It was dubbed in English, and I think it's Spanish, yeah. But it's called The Old Ways. That's a new one right now.
Okay.
The Old Ways.
Okay.
And it's about a young lady getting possessed, but... there's so much more going on to it. That was a decent suspense film. Let's see. I always go Creepshow this time of year. I love the original Creepshow and Creepshow 2. And if you want to see Creepshow 3, a.k.a. Tales from the Dark Side, the film, the movie, that was actually the people that worked on Creepshow and Tales from the Dark Side will tell you that was Creepshow 3. I've met those guys like Marty Schiff and some of those other folks. Yeah, Tales from the Dark Side is a fun one, man. That's, you know, Stephen King and Romero. And I mean, I'm reading Romero's last book right now. And I know my folks are sick of hearing me say this, but because it's a big book. It's like 700 pages. Just wrapping that up. Yeah, before he died, he did The Living Dead. He wrote his last book, and it is it's good. It's good. Movies, I still like The Howling, The Evil Dead, you know. Yeah, but I do like more suspense, like you. Listen, this has been a pleasure, and I want to have you back on when you have your other band and recordings done.
Absolutely.
We did pick a song to go out with only because, you said it. Do you still want to use that same one?
Yeah.
Okay, so we got Paranoid.
Yeah, and you know why I think this kicks ass is the band is killing in it. It's a great guitar solo in it.
Ooh.
And it's one of my favorite bass players I love working with, Eric Lugo. And, you know, all the information for the recordings of all of these musicians and how to contact them, you can find on my website, too, because I'm a big fan of the guys and ladies that are making this music happen, you know. So, yeah, Paranoid. I mean, who doesn't want, you know, Caroline Bells and Ozzy Osbourne arranging at the
Thank
same
you.
Time, you know?
Thank you so much. Absolutely, I agree. And I got one more movie for you too. If you haven't seen it, have you seen Trick or Treat? But this is the one that came out about 10 years ago.
Yes, loved it.
Isn't that great with Sam? Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That's some good stuff.
That's a good reminder, though. I forget about movies.
Yeah,
it's not my wheelhouse, you know.
I think that's our age now too. We forget because we get inundated with stuff, music, movies, you know, and you forget what you like. And then you have to see it again.
Right.
I don't know.
And then you have to think, how do I actually watch a movie nowadays?
Yes, yes, yeah. What streaming device? I find myself in the middle of the night looking on my phone. Is this streaming and where do I find it? And boom, sometimes you can find what you're looking for. But yeah, I recommend Shudder to all horror fans. And more on them sometime soon. And hey, thanks for doing this, Charlie. And we'll talk again soon. Maybe around Christmas time we'll promote your Christmas album.
Anytime, man. It's such a pleasure. And just call me whenever if you just want to chat, because I really enjoyed you and your heart and your musical curiosity.
I appreciate it. Oh, it never ends. That part doesn't end. And folks, if you want all our stuff, go to www.fairlydarkproductions.com. Some of my books are there. All the shows are there. And you can go, if you want the other books and the comic books, go to burningbulbpublishing.com. And you can find tons of great horror writers, indie writers. And you can meet me this weekend if you go to the Willow Station in Castle Shannon, Pittsburgh. All right, that's Saturday the 30th. Afternoon, folks. The afternoon. Karaoke starts at night. That's something else. Maybe we'll have Charlie come out, too, sometime.
Yeah.
All right. And as always, at Fairly Dark on Twitter. Not my favorite place, but I'm trying to get back into it, kids. I'm trying. Do you do Twitter?
I have people that do Twitter for me. How's that? There you go.
You're so lucky. You're so lucky.
Yeah.
The wild west of idiocy out there. But hey, and Instagram too. It's kettle.whistle.radio. And that I like Instagram.
Yeah.
It's all right. It's all right. All right, folks, friends, and fiends, thanks for listening. And have a good night. And Charlie, good night to you.
All right. Thanks, my friend.
And happy Halloween. We'll be right back.
Pop culture, subcultures, music, horror,
sex,
politics, art, and overall bad ass.
This is Society 13, redefining podcasting.
Welcome to Tuning Into Sound Wellbeing, where we harmonise your mind, body and soul. I'm Amanda, your sound therapy expert.
And I'm Stephen, the curious explorer uncovering the mysteries of sound.
Together we explore vibrations, frequencies and the power of sound therapy and tuning forks.
Discover ancient wisdom, reduce stress and tune into a healthier life. Subscribe to Tuning Into Sound Wellbeing today.
Today is working for me. Do you believe that for yourself? Hey, I'm Pastor Julie, and I want to empower you through encouragement, inviting you to my podcast, Big Truth Encouragement, where I unpack living a faith-filled life. I created my podcast for the ladies, but gentlemen, you'll gain something too. So I invite you to listen to Big Truth Encouragement on Electricast and any platform where you listen to your podcast.
Electricast.